This following episode contains spoilers for the film or films being discussed. You have been warned. We all remember the big moments in the movies we see. The big set pieces, the famous dialogue, the twists, the naked times. But film is an entity made up of hundreds of little moments that either make them special or relegate them to obscurity. We are here to talk about those moments. Welcome to Movie Microscope.
Kick it, Movie Microscope.
Today's episode is Exorcist the Beginning.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest Movie Microscope. My name is Nick Nunziata, and I'm your gracious host. Alongside me, the translucent, gelatinous, completely Baphomet-fearing, sweet-ass, sweet-stripe. Justin, what the hell's going?
It's going okay. Was it the Scottish Highland Festival today, Nick, when I talked to you earlier?
I can't believe it.
Stone Mountain, Georgia.
How many kilts did you have to look at?
Lots of people wearing kilts. Lots of crazy hairstyles. Saw some hawks. Saw some sheep. Saw some dogs herding sheep. Saw some people throwing, I mean, they're logs, but they call them like cambers or something.
No, right? Whatever.
Something like that. But you're throwing gigantic logs, trying to flip them over. Pitchforking hay over a pole vault area thing. You know, all that kind of stuff. Had a scotch egg, a sausage, and a hard-boiled egg. Yeah. Some crust. It's good. What'd you do?
Not that.
I wish you were there. I kept getting recognized. Are you the microscope guy? I was like, yeah. I got it. I'm with my family, please. My sister bought my wife for her birthday. You know, I don't know if you heard, Nick, but you don't have to light candles anymore.
What?
Forget lighting candles. Just go buy yourself a candle.
Oh, you melt a melter device.
No, it's a lamp that aims at the candle and it heats up the wax and you can smell it, but you don't have to light it. It's a little candle lamp. And I like it, Nick, I have to say. I like it. It's one thing I hated about candles. You gotta light them. You know?
Yeah, that is difficult.
Always flinched when I lit a candle. You know, get scared, drop the match.
Thinking about the Chicago fire every time.
Now I don't have to worry about it anymore. They made a lamp for a candle. It looks like a hat on a candle. It's cute.
I have those wax melters.
I don't know. What's that? I don't know what that is.
You know, those things that you put, you've seen them everywhere. They're just light bulbs, and you put wax on top of it, and it melts it, and it smells good.
Yeah? You have those?
And I have diffused oil.
You like a good smell, is that what you're saying?
Sure.
Damn it. What about bad ones, Nick? What's your feelings?
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, me neither. I wonder if it smelled on set, by the way. Stellan in particular. Was that his real sweat that he was sweating, or you think it was the makeup?
Is that Skorupko's real sweat? We'll get there. I took my kid Halloween costume shopping, and...
What did he decide to get?
We created a character called the Horse King. So he has a horse's head and a crown on it and a cape. And he's the Horse King.
That's an incredible trademark. You don't want anybody moving on your territory. The Horse King.
Yeah.
I saw the horse mask. I think you put a picture of it on there.
Yeah, he had the crown on in that
photo. I didn't notice a crown. Okay, I have to go back and look. What else? What else is happening this weekend? Anything? And you watch anything else? Did you see Scorsese's movie?
I bought tickets twice to it, and I had to get a refund on both.
Why?
Because my son, my wife was out of town this weekend, and I had to. So I had. He has a lot of band obligations, and it's a 3.5-hour movie, so it's real hard to schedule.
Yeah, I know.
And the showtime, there was a showtime that I couldn't make it to at 6:15, but I bought tickets just in case I could, and then I realized I couldn't. And then the second was at 7, and then I looked, and it would end, depending on how long the commercials were, it would be cutting it way too close when his bus arrived. He ended up getting at the school at 11:05, so I might have been able to make it, but it was too risky. It was late night, though.
When do you think you're going to go see it?
I might go see it this week while I'm on my trip. I'm going to Tampa. Yeah. And I might have, I don't know how late our festivities will run. We're having meetings all week, but who knows?
You're going to Tampa, the home of Thomas Jane's The Punisher. He's always. From Tampa.
Always.
He's from Tampa, Nick. And he got mad about, I think he went wild in Tampa, correct? Is that where it took place?
I think so. His family got iced.
I think they got iced. Did he then get his revenge in Tampa? I guess he did.
No. He gets his revenge in a real city. Not that Tampa's not real. Tampa's amazing.
We can admit at this point that movie, it's been long enough. It's a classic, right?
It's better than people give it credit for.
Do you think it is?
Isn't it directed by the shithole, though? Mark Steven Johnson?
That sounds right. The guy who did Daredevil? He's on top of the world for a minute. Didn't he also do,
He did
Simon Birch. Did he not do Simon Birch as well? Did he do Simon Birch? You might be
right. I don't think he did The Punisher then. Might have been like a Brian Helgeland or some fuck.
Helgeland might have written it.
Jonathan Hensley.
He wrote it and directed it. Mark Steven Johnson, you know he's out there going, I started this superhero thing with Daredevil. I kicked it off. No one gives me the proper credit. His last movie, which you said you really liked, was Love in the Villa. Remember you kept saying how good it was?
There's some running jokes that are great on this show.
2022, he got a COVID movie out.
We both watched the new Mike Flanagan series and loved it.
I really did love it.
It's great.
I like all his stuff, I think.
Give Greenwood an award now. Give Carlo Gugino an award now.
So someone said that Greenwood's, most of his scenes were reshoots.
Frank Langella.
Yeah. Which is incredible, because he, first of all, Greenwood gives a fantastic performance in it, and it is seamless. Like, you'd never know.
There's no way that Langella could have done a better job.
I mean, he would have been older. Yeah. I think he would have been good. He's a good actor.
Huge.
Man, Greenwood's good. And so is Hamill. I love seeing Mark Hamill. Yeah, and that. And,
I put a post on our Instagram with that zoom in conversation.
Mary McDonnell.
She's great.
I mean, everybody in it delivered. Is it Kate Siegel, his wife, was in it?
Sure. Yeah, it's a beautiful show, and it's a very great usage of Edgar Allan Poe's stuff and modernizing it in a cool way and marrying it.
Yeah, and I always pronounced it Carla Gugino. It is Gugino, huh?
I think so. I've called it both. I honestly don't care.
I think you're right. I think you're actually right with Gugino. That's how she says it. So unless she's wrong, which...
Well, George Lucas pronounced the ice planet Hoth, so you just never know.
He tried to change it to Hoth after all those years, huh?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, a lispy priest be delivering the Hoth. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm going at as for Halloween, is the lispy priest.
Are you?
Yeah, the purple sash is going to match my stunning shoes.
Yep, the return of the priests to the Exercise franchise. Finally, get some priests up in here.
Did you just call it the Exercise franchise?
I meant Exorcist.
That is a better name for it, and I will never hear anything else. But this is the Exercise franchise.
Didn't you have a joke about the exorcism of Everly?
Yeah, I did that poster, the Exercise.
What was it again?
The Exercise of Emily. And she's on a treadmill. People love Emily Rose humor.
Do you know what I got very upset with during this movie?
Your soul?
No Lamashtu in this one.
You got Pazuzu, though.
I know.
We'll get
Lamashtu, like the new demon that's taken over the franchise, was not even mentioned. And Pazuzu's not mentioned in this. He's just creeping.
He's everywhere. We're about an hour and a half away from the new episode going live, so people are about to get powered by the Exorcist Believer, so I'm very happy for them.
You got two songs on that one. Is that correct?
Plus the one.
It's not a spoiler because it already happened when they heard this. We've been doing Exorcist movies for quite some time now, and we're going to do every movie, so that's not a surprise. We just go through all these, get them over with. What's been your favorite?
All of them.
You like all of them? You know what movie's starting to look good?
Two.
The second one. Yes.
You know what? No, actually,
starting to look a little better. You know,
these two, the one we're doing this week and the one that we're going to do next week, are, they're not great at all, but they're not bad movies. They're just not interesting movies, but they tried to make a compelling movie. It's just not, but it's not like it's they tried to do a cop out lowest common denominator horror fest. Nope, it didn't.
It's interesting because this movie's got these two movies, Exorcist Dominion and Exorcist the Beginning, have such a weird history where that they shot an entire movie, everybody knows this, right? And then they got cold feet, said it wasn't scary, and they let Rennie Harlan completely reshoot it with like mostly new actors, right?
I just like the fact that this movie actually was more profitable. It made more money than it cost. The other one cost about the same and made less than $300,000.
They screwed it, though. I mean, they barely released it, yeah. I don't know why they even released it. They didn't bury it. I mean, that's
kind of
nice.
I think it was straight to video. As humans, we should be given the right to see those movies that never got, like, Batgirl? Shit like that.
I would love to see Batgirl. Brendan Fraser getting a little bit hammered for his performance in
overacting.
The new Scorsese film.
If that means a shortcut to no more Brendan Fraser, sign me up.
You're not a fan, huh?
Not a fan at all.
I like him. You didn't see The Whale, so I don't know if you can weigh in, if you know what I'm saying. If you can weigh in on Brendan Fraser. I don't know if you can. But he won the Oscar. I'm going to zoom in. Won the Oscar for that movie.
Yet nobody's seen it.
You know why no one's seen it?
Because it looks depressing as hell.
Darren Aronofsky joint, Nick. Ain't no one
going
to his
movies. Is that the first
movie
he's directed that's gotten a best, any sort of an acting accolade?
Has to be.
Did Alan Burstyn get nominated for Requiem?
No, but she's going to get nominated for Exorcist Believer.
Best. On the show, we call the movie Microscope. It's a show where we zoom in. We put the bone in bone broth. We take a miracle out for a stroll. We garnish the wages of an astronaut. We drink froth off the beard of the chest king. We hold back the hair of a puking leather face. We dig through the butthole archives, and we walk underneath the bridge like an Amish boy should, all butter-churny-like. Watch a movie through a set of distressed, destroyed, invisible plexiglass Lexan eyes that have been protected from the thoughts, streamlined through the Asmodeal plane, and come back to us clean and wheat. Watch a movie, see what makes or breaks, share with the Lexi listeners. So if we were talking about the Shadow Conspiracy, we wouldn't talk about the scene where Charlie Sheen pulls back the covers to reveal that he's been sleeping with Linda Hamilton's identical twin all this time. Not that real one. But then he realizes that they're not as identical as he once thought. Turns out she's her own person, and not just a clone of Linda Hamilton, and that is the Shadow Conspiracy.
Interesting. R.I.P., yeah. By the way.
Charlie's film career?
Linda Hamilton's twin sister.
Oh, she took it? Away. Leslie?
Is that her name?
Linda and Leslie.
I think she did pass.
Yeah, she's gone. I think she died during, or right before COVID, or right around did COVID. She?
I hope I'm wrong, actually.
No, she's got to be dead.
I just hope there's two Linda Hamilton looking running around. Leslie Hamilton. Oh, no, she passed away.
Okay, she's
2020.
What's your relationship with Exorcist, The Beginning?
You know, I had never seen it. I remember being excited for the Schrader version when they announced it. I thought, what a weird choice. It's going to actually, there's going to be a shot at it being interesting. But then, you know, obviously all the stuff happened. So I never saw either version of these movies. And still haven't seen the Schrader version.
You will.
So this is my first time.
I love the fact that we do this one, then we do the Schrader version, and then it's episode 250.
Jason Pat, this would be perfect. Does he have an exorcism movie?
No, unfortunately.
Did you look? They need to put him in a supernatural movie.
He's Jason in supernatural Patrick. Movies, but...
I mean, Lost Boys.
And that one that was weird that I was watching, I forgot the name of it. Yeah, I'm enjoying the Exorcist month. Me it too. Hasn't affected the listenership in any meaningful way, so I'm not worried about moving on.
Well, that's David Gordon Green's fault. If his movie had been bigger, we'd be flush with new listeners, you know? We thought we had our finger on the pulse of America and their interests, our interests, but we don't!
My relationship is, I saw it in the theater, and I when I had the movie website, I did coverage of it. And wasn't blown away by it. In my memory,
mm-hmm.
It was way more bad CGI and way more junky, and it's really not.
It's not junky. I think it's a little unwieldy, which makes sense because it's such a troubled production. I don't think the CGI is that bad. It is goofy at moments, especially when at the end when Pazuzu's cave crawling.
It's my favorite part.
But I kind of still
one,
like...
There's one particular cave crawl that I thought was so cute. Where they're upside down, kind of going to the darkness. So
of course.
Cute.
It's actually kind of neat. And then there's also one where... She's running Pazuzu
forever in the corridor.
And then they keep showing her jaw do weird things, like, you know, like these weird angles. And you're like, all right, I'm into this. This is kind of cool looking.
So it stars Mr. Stellan Skarsgård. You guys may know him from Time Code.
Yes. And my man who never, he never stops producing children.
He's made them all. Mm-hmm. And he does a great job of it.
He's made some heavy hitters.
He's like Sutherland. Every come is a huge success.
He's got his biggest, though. You think his biggest is Alexander? Was it, what am I
Gustav? Yes,
why,
Alexander.
Why did I say, is it his name Alexander? Yeah. Sarsgaard? Yeah. Alex.
Followed by Gustav.
Is he on Vikings?
He was.
Everybody went into the family biz after. You got the little Pennywise Skarsgård, too.
Who was on that show, that movie we did here earlier this year, where he's the Airbnb movie, Barbarian.
Yeah, he's in it for a minute. Stellan. What a great, we talked about this, what a great first name, right? Stellan.
Yeah, he is a great choice to be a young Max von Sydow in this. It had to be strange for him, having to play this lead role twice in a row.
Yeah,
with
I know.
Slight modifications and different castings of key characters. There has to be a sense of deja vu. Who else is in it? Let's go off the names here. Let's blow it out.
I mean, you got one of your favorite actors showing up, James Darcy, in this.
You're talking about the embryonic Ralph Fiennes?
He's in this.
He looks a little bit like... Remember in Alien Resurrection when there's all those tubes with different Ripleys in it?
Yes.
That haven't fully formed? That's what James Darcy looks like, with Ralph Fiennes being the finished product. You got Alan Ford from Snatch.
Kind of great in this movie. You got David Bradley in this, somehow not aging for 20 years.
Did he finally leave the world?
No.
Oh, that's great to hear. I love that guy.
He's all over the place, David Bradley. But he shows up looking like he does now in this, which is like, that is crazy.
I'm going to venture to say he did pass.
He didn't. I looked it up. He's still working. He's got upcoming.
Maybe he died since you looked it up.
He's still essential. Always has shown up in HBO stuff, Game of Thrones and whatnot, but he just shows up all the time. He's in everything. Milton's brother.
Yeah, they make games together. He died. Said he was refreshing his browser and died. Isabella Skorupko of Reign of Fire.
And?
Golden.
Yeah, Golden Eye. She's kind of been in some great stuff, actually.
A recording artist.
Is she really?
A Polish model. She had to enjoy her opportunity to kind of be wicked in this movie. I forgot all about that.
Not a bad performance. You got Julian Wadham in this, you know, he's kind of a central British actor as well.
Who did he play in the movie?
Masterpiece Theater. He plays the I don't know, the captain that comes, remember that, like, he comes in and he's commits suicide?
He's in both versions.
Yeah, but he has a better role in the other one. He comes in and shoots a person that he says is a heathen, and then he shoots himself.
For a good reason, because his butterfly freaked him out. And anybody else?
You got Remy Sweeney.
Remy Sweeney. Okay, so I saw the name in the credits. I was blown away that it was that little boy. He doesn't look like a Remy.
He doesn't look like a Sweeney. He plays so Joseph in this. He plays the would-be possessed, like the person that you think is possessed the whole time in this movie.
They slight a child, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have the sadly deceased Ben Cross in this.
Ben Cross, how you do? Yeah, Ben Cross shows up for
two scenes,
and there's a moment in this movie where that they do a thing where Stellan Skarsgård is putting something together because he sees a picture of Ben Cross, and it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? He has a Sherlock moment.
I don't remember that scene.
And yeah, it doesn't matter. His Sherlock moment is inessential.
Now, you guys may know Ben Cross from The Unholy.
What's the show on Max or Cinemax that he was on that starred our boy that we like from? Fuck, I can't remember any names. Plays the mean Superman on that one show.
Oh, Star? He was on. Oh, he was in that. He was in Banshee.
Yeah, Ben Cross was like the main villain in Banshee for like the first two seasons, I think.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not over the amazing. Not over. Early. Well,
He wasn't the Amish guy, but there was a. There was a figure from his past, like a mob guy.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Ben Cross played. Yeah.
We had to watch this on Hulu.
I didn't. I watched it on Peacock.
Okay. I had to watch it on fucking Hulu.
I know.
And they would throw a commercial in right in the middle of the weirdest spots. But one of the commercials that played was for that show, 30 Coins, that hard show from Alex de Iglesia, who I almost worked with on a movie. And now Paul Giamatti just signed to be on it. But
does it look good?
It looks creepy. Yeah. There's a shot of, there's almost an extra shot in it.
I don't know anything about it other than the title.
There's an exorcism component to the show.
What channel is it on? Hulu?
It's on HBO. But its second season is about starting. Paul Giamatti's joining the show. I just watched the second to last Billions today, so he'll have some downtime. It's going to be sad to see it go.
So I switched over once the commercials started coming up. I saw it was on Peacock. I watched it there, commercial-free, other than the beginning. That's the way to watch Exorcist the Beginning on Peacock.
I hate all these services. I just hate them. Yeah, I almost worked with Alex de Iglesia, another one of my failed movie projects.
I guess I don't know who that is. What else has he done?
He did that great, The Last Circus. I loved it. It was visionary. It was really cool. Yeah, so when we were doing Saints Row, he was the guy that I actually was my guy. And he ended up getting real close to the finish line with it. How'd that work out? Anyway, so the film starts off.
What's going on? Yeah, tell us about what happens at the beginning of this film.
It begins way down in the past, and we see this guy who's warped by bad heat rays CGI, and he's having a rough go. And he's
Jesus looking. It's in the Crusades, right? Like he's it's like during the Crusades. This guy's like he's a knight or something, and he's surveying battle damage, right? Like an aftermath of a fight.
And he's anguished.
What happens?
The camera whips past a bunch of crucifixes to establish a shot. And I don't understand why there has to be a whooshing sound as they pass every crucifix. It's Rennie Harlan trying to have a big-ass CGI action dick on him, and it's stupid. It would have been more effective if it was dead silent.
So he tries to pull this. He sees a dead soldier, and he tries to pull the Pazuzu head thing from the first Exorcist movie from the guy's fist, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a little statue, and then the guy who's dead, he's run through, he grabs it back. And then this guy, this knight stands up and he's like, you know what, let me stand up so you can pull the camera back past all these people hanging upside down, crucified. And there are a lot of those guys. A lot of upside downs.
Yeah, CG. And then, right after that, we get some more bad CG. There's some scene extension to establish where the town where Stellan, as Dr. Henry Jones, is in a bar. It's an unnecessary bit of bad CG for the scene extension, too. But yeah, then we meet him in his scalawag kind of, you know, safari-dressed, looking tough, hard-drinking ex-priest, Stellan.
Guys, this isn't the Father Marin you met in The Exorcist. This isn't the same dude that had his shit together for 10 minutes before he got wasted by Reagan. This is a Father Marin who has turned his back on the church, and as Nick said, is playing archaeologist in Egypt, right? Like he is cutting a very Indiana Jones-like figure here.
Right down to the color of his clothes and the bar. They obviously are trying to evoke that. Oh, thanks for making ice. And then to even make it more like an Indiana Jones thing, a young kid tries to connive him. He almost gets Egypt, you know? But no, the little kid does not. Stellan gets the last laugh. And then who shows up to greet him?
Ben Cross.
Yeah.
I like it. His first line in this movie was like, I have to be in this movie. I'm obligated to be here because my last name's Cross. Let's just get that out of the way. That's why I'm in here. But yeah, he says, hey, Stellan, I know you're Indiana Jones now, but you have to go. There's a buried church in Africa you got to go to. And Stellan's like,
I'm listening.
I'm not going. Oh. And Ben Cross says, okay. And then that's over.
Movie credits roll.
Stellan does go, even though he protests.
Well, you know why? Go. Because he has a leather imprint of Pazuzu's head. And that will get anybody to commit.
He does have, like, it looks like a little paper mache or something. You know?
It makes me, well, it's not creepy. That would be a great fruit roll-up.
It does look a little creepy, and that convinces Stellan that he needs to go to buried church, Africa.
I mean, who doesn't want to go to a buried church?
I know. And I love him. I love when he gets there, Nick.
Well, I love before he gets there, because what's happening in the background of this bar behind Stellan?
Oh, tell me.
You guys are enjoying a hookah. It made me happy.
You've been known.
I love me some guy. Yeah, I put that in my shit. I'm going to be making one soon. Fuck you.
Well, you hear a little hint of Stellan's background here, why he might not be a priest anymore. Something happened to him in the war. Something happened to him during World War II, specifically.
And it happens better in the Paul Schrader version.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
And it's made him...
They kind of parse it out through this film, which was surprising.
Is it the same scene?
It's like I think the film opens with it in the other one. But anyway, we'll get there. Guys, don't wait. Don't worry. We'll be there. I'll make another astronaut joke.
you know, Ben Cross, like, you're a priest. He's like, I'm the priest no more. He goes, well, you're a priest before the war. What happened? You know, he's like, I quit. Now I'm, you know, they badassed me. Now I'm a hard drinking archaeologist that likes the ladies.
He doesn't, though. We don't know that.
Oh, he likes the lady. He tries to get all up in Skorupko this entire film.
See, she's more aggressive than he is on that front.
I think he's looking.
He's definitely very receptive to her suggestion of coming to sit next to her and things like that. And he does like to spend time with her. And she's the only person that he's cordial with unequivocally until the end.
As soon as he gets there and sees a pretty woman, he spends the most time with that character. And when she turns into a possessed Pazuzu or Pazuzu possessed woman, he's still interested.
Yeah, she's fetching.
Speaking of a character done dirty, by the way, this one doesn't have a great life.
The screener is like, maybe just some head blood. Maybe just some head blood at the end.
Can't let her live.
Who else is at this camp so he goes to visit? Who else is there hanging out?
We get that guy with pussy face.
Alan Ford. They meet in a bar. Mm-hmm. And Alan Ford is immediately established as the asshole of the camp.
Of course.
But I could not focus on him because there was a little sign behind him on the wall. Did you happen to see
elephant,
it?
Elephant Noir?
Yes, it sure did.
Yeah, did you find out what it means?
I think it's a beer. I think it's a beer.
Is it a beer? It's a great name.
By the way, mm-hmm. Elephant Noir, Alan Ford, Tech Noir, Linda Hamilton, Sister's Dead. Just connecting everything together.
Okay. This movie, so anyway, Alan Ford is puffy face. There's a guy named, I think Eddie Ocey is the name of the actor. Here's a guy that's kind of in charge of leading Stellan around the camp. You don't get to know him too well, but he's kind of protecting Stellan a little bit before he gets killed later. I think they kind of try to make you care for his character a little bit.
You're talking about Chuma, right?
Yeah. Is that his name, Chuma?
Yeah.
He's in both versions, I think.
He is, and he makes it in both.
So they are there, and Stellan is like, oh man, there's a buried church. I love it. And they're excavating it. But the locals have told him, hey, people are disappearing or running away. There's accidents. It's not a pleasant uncovering. It's not a pleasant dig. Not a pleasant sight. It doesn't stop. It doesn't deter Stellan. He still gets out his little brush, his little cute archaeologist brush, and he starts brushing at the church walls. And what does he say? What does he declare? It's almost like this church was built and immediately buried.
Yeah.
There's no wear and tear on the walls. Mm-hmm. He zooms in.
He does, and he's right.
But it doesn't make sense there's a church here. That's what he is trying to uncover, this mystery. He doesn't understand why the Catholics were out this way.
It was before the time. It was, yeah, it was the wrong era. Yeah.
Why is a church here?
There were no tax breaks back then.
And then he immediately forgets all that because he sees Skorupko. And he's got a new mission.
Every position. Even though we find out that she was the pommel horse for the entire German army during the war.
I mean, shouldn't put it that way. It is a sad story she tells, where she was in a concentration camp and they had, like, yeah, she suggests that she was obviously raped, but, you know, also she can't have kids. And she said her husband left her when he found this out. He wouldn't touch her anymore, and he left her. And Stellan says, so you're saying you have no husband?
Yeah, and you're willing to, you know, flick the filter of a 35-year-old virgin. Is that what you're telling me?
Is Stellan 35 here?
I'm just taking a super stab.
He's 72. He was 52 in this movie, I would say. How old is this movie? 20 years old?
No, I'm talking about the character of Marin.
Yeah, he's probably playing a 40-year-old man here.
You think so?
And he's, yeah, I'd say maybe 40, early 40s, and he's looking to...
Bang.
Finally have sex. It's like Steve Carell, is that what you're saying? It's like 40-year-old Marin.
I mean, she's adorable.
She's the doctor here at this site. She is aiding, you know, the people that are getting injured or they're falling sick, and she's doing a terrible job, Nick. I wouldn't say she's a great doctor.
We see no evidence to that. She's able to get a needle into a bloodstream. We've seen that. There's a little kid that's introduced, Joseph, who we talked about briefly, who mm-hmm. is sort of the scapegoat possessed in this, you think. He's kind of just wanders around the camp being weird. Has an older
brother
for
a while.
For a while.
Yeah, they have a hyena problem at this site. And at one point, his older brother gets ripped to shreds by CGI hyenas.
He gets destroyed, and then they carry him away by his head.
Yeah, he does not make it. He gets
taken away. It's a great scene. I love that. Because that scene follows the hunched over monkey.
Well, yeah, it's the same. Because, the monkey's trying... Weren't they trying to give the monkey water?
There's one shot of this hunched over monkey that was the cutest thing. You know what I'm talking about. There's one shot where that monkey's so hunched over and cute.
I know there's a monkey in the movie. I didn't know. I didn't zoom in that
there's
hard.
There's one shot in particular that is absolutely magnetic of that hunched over monk. And then he's quickly eaten by a surprise hyena who was in a well, maybe?
I think it just jumped from the shadows. Could be in the well. I don't think so. The well was full of water.
Did you think they were going to push the taller kid into the well? Did you think that was going to happen?
Of course.
Okay, just making sure.
I forgot the CGI hyenas were out there and about. And man, they ripped that kid apart. Like, yeah, I feel bad for him because it's not quick.
Well, and there's a video game scene where his dad comes in and tries to shoot one of the hyenas. And then Stellan comes in and plays a game of Wild Buck Hunter and misses.
Shoots a couple of them. No, he shoots a couple.
The first time he misses, right? He shoots the wall.
I think he's trying to do a warning shot.
Usually you do a warning shot up.
Well, whatever. It doesn't work. He shoots a couple, maybe shoots one or more, and they do not care.
They don't care.
Get out of there, but they carry their prey with them.
And they say he was torn away.
You know what you could have done? Huh. Is run after that pack of hyenas when he's carrying that kid. You don't have to give up when he leaves the scene. You know.
Yeah, but did you notice he's administering CPR on the monkey? Was CPR invented back then? Maybe not. He called it CPR. He was actually making out with the monkey.
Was it BCPR?
Everything's weird in this little village, though, because Pazuzu's asshole is in that castle under the ground.
Oh, so the church is... Stellan figures out, because he's Indiana Jones, that he does do an Indiana Jones thing in the church, because he has to... First of all, he has to drop through the ceiling, because the church is buried, and they only uncovered the top. Drops through the ceiling, sidesteps the snakes, and then he goes over to the... there's like a little tomb, and then he just... holds his lighter up and he's like, I bet there's wind coming from this damn tune.
Well, it's because he goes to the asylum. He goes to the asylum and sees the crazy drawings of the former dude who was there. And one of the drawings has an illustration of that altar and a passageway underneath it.
So he's like I said, he's kind of a busted ass Indiana Jones, because his big revelation here is he takes this drawing down to the creepy part and he's like, it doesn't make any sense. And then he... turns it upside down, and then it starts making more sense. He had the drawing wrong, Nick.
Yeah, he's not good.
And so then he goes into the sub basement of this church, which is a sacrificial chamber, like a temple.
There's a lot of little corridors and rock faces. I do like there's a scene, and this is in both versions, when they go into this church. In this case, the James Darcy character notices that all of the statues are pointing downward. And in a church, they're supposed to be facing heavenward. As if something was meant to be kept down there. It's pretty cool, actually, to see that. And I like the idea. There's some cool ideas in this concept of something being buried there and the way it contaminates that town.
Well, you know, it's supposed to be this place is where Lucifer fell to earth after the battle in the heavens.
That 100% actually happened.
And Stellan's not buying it. Until the end.
Things go weird. I tell you, there's little signs that maybe things aren't great in this little spot. There's this weird cemetery out on the outside of town. The hyenas are acting all assy with glowing eyes. People are giving birth to maggot babies. Weird stuff afoot. Flies everywhere. People getting pustules on their face. It's just a weird little thing. You think maybe they get a clue that this place sucks.
So there's like a tone missing here. Like, that's, you know, like... Rennie is getting some of the elements right here, but he doesn't have the creepy factor in here, really. It's just not very creepy film. It feels like it should be. Like you said, this woman gives birth to, what'd you call it, a maggot baby?
I did.
Of course she does. That's when Stellan is investigating this sacrificial temple. There's plenty of imagery that harkens back to the first movie. There's even, believe it or not, guys, in the temple, a set of stairs that someone falls down. Did you notice this?
No.
When they're struggling at the end with this, you know, the battle between Stellan and Pazuzu, he falls down some stairs. Of course he does. You know, in the temple.
He does it in the movie, in the original.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't get a chance to fall down those stairs.
I do like some of this stuff.
But do you agree that it's not that creepy? Like, it should be. It should be creepy, right? Is the Schrader version creepy? Is it unsettling, at least?
Nope. Not sure which version's worse.
That's the thing. I think one thing about Schrader's version, he didn't get a chance to finish it. They didn't give him any money to finish the CGI in it, to finish the music, I think, if you read about it. So maybe it would have been better.
You're swapping James Darcy for Gabriel Mann. Oops.
Who's better?
Oops. Well, Gabriel Mann's given a lot more to stuff, but that's not a quality.
Does he get possessed?
No. I'm not telling
Who's the possessed in the Schrader
version? An annoying person.
Okay.
A disabled villager.
Are there good possession effects?
That's a negative, Speed Racer. This one's got way more possession stuff at the end. It's one of the best I've ever seen. I love that baby, man, that maggot baby. Poor little fella comes out all suck. Right after Stellan opens that crypt and a fly comes out, maggots on the baby. Let me put two and two together. It's Stellan's fault. But good news for that baby, soon they'll be burning it on a spit. They Darth Vader the shit out of that baby.
They do burn it, and Stellan's like, wait a minute, there's a bunch of crosses, a big graveyard, but they burn their dead here. And so he's like, where are the bodies? Why are they saying there's bodies in these caskets? You know, that he starts to get suspicious of a graveyard.
I want a pizza, though, watching this movie.
You want a pizza?
I want a pizza while I was watching it.
How?
Because I play movie bingo, and my card, I use it for everything I watch, and the card happened to have Maggot Baby and Burning Baby on it. I completed a row. Who would have thought? I've been watching all these John Hughes movies, not one. Now, Alan Ford has a huge hard-on for Skorupko, and he's lecherous towards her quite a bit in this movie.
He's one of the two in this film.
He's lecherous, whereas Stellan is cutely interested but afraid to do anything about it.
So his direction in the script was, apparently, or at least in the script that was written, that when he's around her, he's fighting an erection. That's crazy. What a crazy thing to write. No, it was not on the internet. I mean, maybe it's wrong, but he's supposed to be fighting an erection when he's around her.
Well, that makes me feel better about when I was taking my notes. So that's why he said he punches himself in the dick a bunch of times?
A bunch of times, yeah, if you watch the movie.
Yeah, I remember there's that scene where he pins it in his underwear so that it doesn't move.
So yeah, Alan, so he gets her a necklace and she holds the necklace weird like movie people do. Do you notice that whenever someone gets a necklace in a movie and they hold it like this? It's hard to describe, but like so they can, like, you know, it looks kind of cool in the movie, the way they hold it to, like, look
at it. Never thought about it until now, and now I'll never to not be able to think about it.
So they hold it up, like, kind of above their, like, the chain above their head, and they're looking, like, eye level with the pendant. You know, like, no one ever, who does that? You know, no one. But in movies, anytime anyone gets a necklace, they're holding it like that. Especially if it's, like, some kind of treasure, you know, if you find a treasure. That's, you have to underscore it by doing that. Now, she gets a unwanted gift from Alan Ford, and you think he's the threat the whole time, because he really is creeping on her. He's got a pussy face. At one point, he's in her bed. Remember, he just shows up, she wakes up, he's in there.
No fucking sense.
In her bed. And he said he got mad because he found the necklace he gave her in the trash. And he says, after you held it up like it was the best thing in the world and underscored it, you threw it in the trash? And so then he, like, she shoos him away, and then he gets killed. But that's okay.
Yeah, he was lying in the bed with it angled. Everything was angled right.
And then she's like, get out of here. He's doing what?
Yeah, a straight shot. Fair lane.
She's like, get out of here, and he can't stand up for a while because he's fighting an erection. This poor guy. Anyway, shouldn't have been in her bed, but you know what? I don't feel as bad now that I know that she is Pazuzu possessed, and she destroys him.
An amazing... There's one thing that ruins that scene to me. It's because it's such a great image. I mean,
what scene? He is
when they find the potentially dead body of Alan Ford's character.
Is he dead?
He might be dead in that scene because you could see his entire spine
through his body. Yeah, through his front, you could see his spine.
Yeah, he's not a good spread sign. Out. He's been spread out, and he's all bones except for some meat.
The birds are having fun on him.
Yeah, and he's hiding an erection. But there's one shot where there's a crow on top of him moving. Yes. And the weight of the crow should not be moving that body the way it is. It's like, come on, don't do it.
I will hand it to Harlan in this. When in doubt, put birds in the scene. That's what he does a lot in this movie.
There are so many fucking crows in this movie. Dead, alive, eaten, not eaten.
And there no, and it's like one of those things is like, maybe if we keep putting them in scenes, they'll be scary. We'll just keep pushing them into scenes. At one point, our boy Wadham has a, you know, is trying to pin a butterfly. What do they call that when you're like, you know, I guess when you're just
an animal abuser?
Frame, you know, when you're framing a butterfly, you pin them to like display them.
Yeah, it's mean.
He does a double take because the butterfly turns into a dead crow and he fights an erection when it happens.
Oh, this is a great, great sentence. I typed it up. I typed it, Justin. Mm-hmm. Makes it sound even creepier. How to pin and spread butterflies.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, that's pinning. I guess it's called pinning. Do you think Rennie Harlan was trying to Evil Dead it a couple times in this with the way, with the moving dead animals and with the way that the possessed group goes acting?
Definitely looks Evil Dead 2 at the end with her, yeah.
Death, I hear you calling, but I can't zoom in right now. Stellan is down there playing, so deep, deep underground. Just a few more murders, and this prequel will be through. I think Skaruko's balling with my buddy Pazuzu. Yeah, it's death in Pazuzu. They hired Rennie Harlan, 'cause Schrader took a dump. Now Marin's loins are pulsing for Isabella's hump. Just a few more murders, and this prequel will be through. I think Skaruko's ballin' with my buddy Pazuzu. Yeah, it's death in Pazuzu. I know you're lonely, 'cause your partner sucks at crime. But Marin will be gifted by Friedkin in no time.
There's these flashback sequences in this where we get a sense of, or we get to know why Stellan's no longer a priest. Why don't you describe the sequence of events?
There's this adorable young girl who we see get killed a couple of times too many in this. So back during the war, he was a priest in a village there where the Germans, one of their own was killed. And to exact revenge, he wants to take 10 lives. And after killing this beautiful young girl, he basically tells Stellan's character...
A kid,
girls aren't kids?
No, I'm just saying she's like a kid. Like, she's like 5 or 6. He shoots her in the head, and then that is crazy. And then what does he say to Stellan?
He basically tells me he has to pick who he's... The 10 he's going to kill.
If you don't pick priests, I'm going to kill everybody in this crowd. Right. So you better pick.
And here's the problem. And we'll see it next week. In the Schrader version, there's literally a crowd. In the Rennie Harlan version, there's like 17 people in that scene standing around. So basically you're killing off the majority of our extras in that scene, but you get to see Stellan. First of all, he offers himself up, kill me. And then you see behind Stellan's back, he's got his fingers crossed. But then he starts picking people, man. And he doesn't just pick the pieces of shit men. He picks a couple younger guy whose daughter, the bullet almost hits the daughter in the house.
He picks some mostly old dudes, kind of picks a young man, then they cut away. I don't know. They don't show you all 10 he picks. But what's the guy's catchphrase? This German soldier's catchphrase.
God's not with us today.
God's not here today, priest. And Stellan believes it. He's like, you know what? This guy's got a point. I'm no longer a priest. That's why he's not a priest, Nick, because he had to do this. But he finds his faith at the end, and he re-priests.
That's his big getting suited up scene, right? Kissing that and fucking... kissing things, man. That's a... The only thing he doesn't kiss in this movie is... Oh, he actually kisses Skorupa. He kisses her twice.
He does get a little smooch, doesn't he? Yeah. But is he kissing Skorupa or is he kissing Pazuzu? That's what I want to know. I didn't know that they were locking lips. They have history, Marin and Pazuzu.
And then in the script says Pazuzu's hiding his erection. Here's a scene I love. So
it's tough to hide, by the way. Snake erection? Jeez.
Everybody's pretty convinced that little cute Joseph is the enemy of everybody good.
Oh, yeah, he's acting weird,
and
to
he's
be
in
fair.
A bed. Well, he sucks. He sucks as a person. He's boring. He's let his brother die.
He's a child.
Doesn't make any sense necessarily why. Maybe he was possessed for bad. I don't know. He sucks. But anyway, he's in a hospital bed, and Isabella is performing mediocre science. I guess it's because it's Pazuzu performing
Stop
mediocre
doing
science.
That kind of joke.
Yeah. Mm. But there's a great scene where all of these village shaman or whatever come in to get him.
Yeah, they're gonna. And it looks like they're gonna kill him. Actually,
they're gonna kill the shit out of him. And his dad's like, "Sorry, buddy, I gotta pass you on."
Mm-hmm.
His father says, "Sorry, pal, you're out of here." It's not much.
They start dropping leeches on his chest, and they get
and
the big old knife out.
Sits up in his bed like, "Wait a minute."
And they get the big old knife out, and then the guy, he doesn't stab. He just kind of lets it hang there for too long, and Pazuzu is like, you know what? Let me start breaking some bones.
I love the bone breaking. That is hard. He breaks somebody's fingers back badly. He breaks
the leg.
Breaks the leg. Breaks another body part. It's gross.
And he does it with his mind. You know, he does it with his powers. That's why, doesn't he ever pull the stuff on Marin?
Why doesn't he just Marin's win bones? Every time, all the time?
Because he does... They do the same thing in Believer. Lamashtu breaks some bones, and they remember twist the priest's neck all around without laying a hand on him.
Maybe start with that. Don't.
I thought Pazuzu was like just good at throwing people across rooms and downstairs, you know, out windows.
Well, he's certainly good at ruining the body that he's in.
Oh, he always has to make it creepy and cut up.
But
the cuts disappear whenever Pazuzu disappears. The cuts go away.
I know, which makes me happy because that means maybe the head twist around isn't a fatal thing.
Well, it isn't, because Reagan still walks.
I know, but it shouldn't be. She should be dead as hell forever.
Anyway, Selen's about to get busy. He's about to let his fingers do the walk, and what happens? He's about to lay down Sarah next to... You know, they're about to make out next to this kid who is asleep, but Pazuzu moves the bed and just destroys the moment.
It's bad screenwriting, because Pazuzu would probably let him go... That priest would be beyond the point of being a threat to him if he let him... roughshod in there.
He should, he should be in there. They should be having their moment, and then Pazuzu should transform and go. You know, that's when he should. Like, by the way, I possessed your love interest.
Yeah, your penis is in a snake right now. And it would be great because then they can re-edit the audio from the original freaking Exorcist, and when Marin comes in, Pazuzu say, "Remember that time we hot fucked in Africa?"
What if Pazuzu's like, "That's right, Marin, you are." In this, it's me. And then Pazuzu's confused, like, "Why are you still moving? What's happening? I thought I would scare you off of this."
That's
and
my
they
kink.
Find love. Marin and Pazuzu. Man, I hate Pazuzu, but I also love Pazuzu. Yeah, they get a little smoochy. Is she possessed at that point? Who knows? You don't know.
I think the screenwriters tried to throw a rope-a-dope at the end, and they forgot. Well, her behavior throughout the rest of the film is not consistent with it. Possessed.
Like I said, she's good in this movie. I liked her performance, and you know, she actually, you care about her character. So it is kind of a cool twist that she's the possessed. It comes out of nowhere, but you know, it did. I was surprised by it, I guess.
I was surprised when she went to the shower that Renny Harlin didn't get in there.
Do you notice that? Guess who, when he hears a shower coming, Marin's running. I heard a shower. I hope, sir. Her room is a mess. Remember when they find out that she's Pazuzu, he goes in her room. He's worried about her. Goes in her
room.
It's
creepy, Jason.
It looks like he's got feces on the wall. It's like all messed up. That's when he sees the picture of her and Ben Cross. Like she was married to Ben Cross and he has
No, she's not married to Ben Cross. She's married to the guy in the asylum.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I think that's Ben Cross.
That's why I didn't know what you're... No, no, no. It's the guy in the asylum.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive. They even say his name later on when they're talking about it. No, she's married to the guy in the asylum.
Oh, so no wonder he went nuts.
No, no. He kills himself.
That picture looks like Ben Cross.
No, it's the guy in the asylum.
Yeah, he does kill himself. So maybe he wouldn't touch her because she's Pazuzu, I guess. That's when she was talking about it. You know, wouldn't touch me anymore. Doesn't matter, Nick. Let's get to this crazy part at the end.
What do you mean?
In the cave.
Well, first, the villa. Here's what sucks. This British guy, the butterfly collector, gets Pazuzu influenced. He ends up killing the chief of the village, the main guy.
Right. This is after in retaliation for Alan Ford's death.
Yeah, which was
why does he care about?
But yeah, exactly. Because he thinks that the villagers did this crazy, awful thing to their guy, which is impossible. Yeah, he kills this guy, and it starts a war between them. So there's this scene where the guys are getting their machine guns ready, and where the villagers are getting their war paint on and doing all this shit, and they start killing each other, and then they start killing themselves.
They do. They start killing
their own people.
The sides start killing. Yeah, so that's kind of a cool scene, I think, in a weird way. I mean, I like that twist. No, Pazuzu's all up in it. Crane Mayhem, you know?
Or the Fog of War. I mean, or Ron Kovic might have been involved. He loves killing his own people. So there, let's go to the cave. Back. Let's go. So here's something that blew my mind. Uh-huh. There's this book that's sort of the Millennium Falcon of this movie in a way. It's the Roman ritual, right?
Right.
Now, I thought it was a poorly designed prop. Lazy. Yes. And then I went online and saw that it's the same exact book that's been around forever.
Really?
Someone wrote it, huh? It's the same... It's called The Roman Ritual, Christian Burial, comma, Exorcisms, comma, Reserved Blessings, comma, etc. Somebody used etc. back then on a book that's to fight the devil. So it's like...
You got to.
Like miscellaneous things. Oh, and also devil fighting. It's so fucked. Maybe there's like, you know, if you're looking for a book on how to, I don't know, bless somebody's home when they buy it,
right.
It might be in this book. But the headlines are Christian Burial, Exorcism, Reserved Blessings.
Do you think you get that on Amazon, by the way?
It is. You can. It's $52. Yeah. It's a reprint of the 1952 edition, and it was $60.
Really?
Hardcover. But it's the same exact cover as we saw in this movie. There's a priest that did a edit on it in the 50s. Apparently it's been around for a long fuck time.
What if James Darcy signs it? How much is it worth then?
Less.
James Darcy then, he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hero move. And take the little kid to the sacrificial temple and do an exorcism.
Mm-hmm. He makes it.
Doesn't work. Because that little kid is just tired. He is not possessed. And the real possessed is, as we said, Skorupko. And she, for poor Darcy's efforts, she rips his heart out. Doesn't live. Doesn't survive that one. So the last 20 minutes of the movie...
Not a huge loss, to be honest.
Last 20 minutes of the movie is... Father Marin teaming up with the little Joseph, taking on possessed Isabella Skorupko.
Joseph and sucks, man. He doesn't do anything. Although he's forced to become the secondary priest and has to read these Bible passages, which should not have any power since he's not an ordained priest.
He's the second. Yes, and it works though, sort of. They do unpossess Skorupko, but then she head bleeds to death.
No, but they unpossess her once, and then she's pulling the fast one on him.
She does. She tricks him a lot, but she does. They do drive Pazuzu away eventually. But yeah, this whole scene. What do you think of it? It's not bad, I guess. I mean, I kind of like her in the makeup.
Obviously, this is the reason that they reshot the Schrader movies because there wasn't enough action and enough terror.
Right.
So they tried to double down with this climax scene, and it's where this Evil Dead version of Isabella Skorupko is running around being an asshole.
What I liked about it was Pazuzu back on top with the slings and arrows, you know, like
saying
really
some bad
putting
words.
It to Marin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying sexy stuff. Showing those bosoms, which made me happy that Pazuzu's got a you know, he's appointed with product.
Don't want to F me anymore. That's what, you know, you really kind of get Marin, you know, his secret desires out in the open to the cave. Ain't no one listening but Joseph, you know, and he's too young to understand. He's like, why are the adults fighting? But Joseph does know that there is a
creepy monster. He's got a super appointment of materials under that shirt.
Joseph looks, he knows it's spooky times down there. He gets wide-eyed a couple times. He gets nervous.
He might have learned a thing about acting from Leslie Odom Jr.
Leslie Odom Jr., his blood pressure doesn't rise. Yeah,
that's Linda Odom Jr.'s twin brother.
So anyway, man, you got to feel bad for Isabella Scrupko because she gets unpossessed and dies anyway.
But she goes down the demon corridor for a while, which is amazing. Father Merrin, they're underground, and she is at the many miles away. You see her little figure silhouette dancing around like an idiot in the distance.
That's kind of creepy. I kind of like that shot.
I did too. And then she's coming down the demon corridor towards him while he's doing the rite of exorcism. And then, yeah, unfortunately, he gets her face all melted out, and she's saved and thrilled for a short while, and then mysterious head bleed.
She bleeds forever, and she dies. Like, it's pretty sad. And then, like, because she doesn't look like she's loving dying. You know, she acts pretty well. And then he says he turns his, he drops the, you know, her down lowly into the, you know, lowers her into the dirt, and he turns his face heavenward, and he says, "Oh God, you can't let the hottest die." And he weeps.
And then he makes sure Joseph's not looking, and he tucks his penis into the band of his underwear to keep it from.
And Joseph, at the end, Joseph's walking out a distraught Father Merrin, and Joseph said, "You did hit that, right? I mean, at least you hit it once, right? What? You didn't? You had all this time. You had weeks. She was into you, man. What the? I just get nervous."
That's and then he has anyway, a flashback of when Joseph and Scrupko blacked out, and Merrin, not knowing how to have sex, raw dogged the back of her head.
Oh, she's dead. And they come out to a destroyed place. Like, so Joseph and
he comes out all birth-like coming out of the ground.
Yeah, they dig their way out of there's a sandstorm, I guess.
Can I tell you, I was watching that thinking, man, the actor Stellan Skarsgård really did dig himself out of the sand in this scene. I was thinking about the actor did his own digging, you know, digging out of that. That must have been a little claustrophobic down there with Tiny Joseph.
I don't know how they built it, you know.
I'm gonna assume that he's climbed out for reals.
Maybe it was great down there. Maybe they had a blast and it was sad times when they actually had to dig themselves out finally.
Fair enough.
They were eating Charleston Chews down there or something and just having a blast.
Right. So you call ups.
But anyway, so they come out and everybody's dead. And then they cut to a scene where he's back. I don't know where. I guess he where he started the movie. Yeah, the Vatican, right. And Ben Cross is there. And he goes, Ben Cross, like, let me zoom in here. Something happened out there, Merrin. And he says, Mr. Merrin or something.
Right.
And Merrin says, that's Father Merrin. So you know he's a priest now.
And that's supposed to be a cool line.
It is. And then he walks towards the Vatican. And it's kind of like in the shot that's similar to, he's a briefcase, it's supposed to be similar to the hero shot in The Exorcist, I guess. We'll remind people that shot is cool by doing it at the end here, you know?
But this one's not cool. And it's obviously not him at the Vatican, it's him at a blue screen.
And there's some CGI birds that fly over, and Rennie can't get enough of his birds in this. But Ben Cross is like, I'm sorry, he's like shouting, he's like, I'm sorry, Father Merrin, I didn't get the update, I didn't see the email. You did get back, huh? All right, Father Merrin, that's cool. By the way, what a huge win down there. You killed it.
He said, can you believe anybody would think that was my wife down there?
See, that's... Okay, so I guess I'm not a great movie watcher. Maybe I shouldn't be on the show, but I did think that looked like Ben Cross in the picture.
100% a silent man who sucked. I was expecting... They build that up to be like the Lecter scene. Like, what great Hollywood actor are they going to have this in this special scene... as the insane, and then it's a guy no one's ever seen, including his parents.
I wish that he would have said something like to himself, like when he looked at the picture, go, "Huh, it's the guy from the asylum, the guy that went nuts." Like, could he have just said that for the audience? She was married to the guy that went crazy and slit his own throat in the asylum.
That's Patrick O'Kane we're talking about. It's my boy. He's in Last Jedi. Pretty great.
No, but you said the Schrader version's about on par with this.
It's more serious. Not much better, if at all. So, some decent credits. Nothing great, but I got some in there. What'd you see? This is a low-energy episode.
It is. I got the guy that's the knockoff coffee guy, Nick. The Costco coffee guy. BB in this.
Don't have it.
Blake Bulger.
Okay.
I tried. You know, yeah. I tried. What about you?
There's the guy. I know this guy. He's a pedestrian. Pedo all the time. Doesn't ever get into a vehicle. MH? You get him?
MH. I don't have an MH.
Moto Hata?
I didn't, but I got the guy that cornered the market on Super Mario pornography, Nick. Okay. Got a corner of the market. Luigi Pini in this. I'm sorry, LP. Sorry. I missed that part. I was so excited about the punchline.
Luigi Pini in this.
Yeah. I'm trying to check the spelling, because, you know, the autocorrect screws me so many times.
I mean, the only thing that would have made Close Encounters more scary to Richard Dreyfuss' character is if SH happened.
SH?
Yeah, SH. Spinny Hill.
That's a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
I have a guy that drove the Exorcist the Beginning softball team coaches insane. Okay. Just take a hit. Just hit the ball for once. Just swing away, JB. Just swing away. Do you have JB?
No.
No matter what, Jennifer Bunting.
Jesus Christ.
Infuriating.
I mean, this guy worked on Cobra and was brutalized by the star.
What?
Because he got mistaken for a coworker from a previous film of his.
Okay.
JM?
Don't have JM.
John Meat. Stallone's like, didn't we work together before? He starts punching him.
I got the guy, couldn't stop fucking with things in this. And everybody got upset. He couldn't stop fidgeting, couldn't stop fucking with things.
I'm here.
J.A. in this.
Don't have it.
Joel Alter in this movie.
Okay. There's a question often asked of a lot of people in this world, but none as much as the star of Ong Bak, Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa, yeah.
You know, a lot of questions are asked of Tony Jaa in his business life, but he doesn't like to answer questions about his personal life. And that's what sucks about TSD from this movie.
What?
Because how's your Thai son doing?
Well, I got one that, instead of like a famous movie archaeologist, was an archaeologist, but was instead a investigative reporter, Nick.
Ooh.
IW in this. Do you have IW?
I don't.
Indiana Woodward.
Jesus Christ.
It's my moment to shine tonight. I got a couple great ones off.
Well, the last one I have is somebody was pitching Masses of Sex to the executives at Showtime.
I got this one.
Their pitch was two words. I guess you have it too, right?
Lizzie X?
Lizzie X. Yeah.
Did you ever find that finish that show?
No. I did finish watching the show.
You were done after a while?
No, I mean, I finished while watching the show.
Do you not like it? It was kind of a good show.
I loved it.
I just never finished it. Yeah.
Yeah, never.
On Too Long.
Not really.
Should have been one season.
You're talking about Kurt Russell's marriage life? They had one season in his marriage life. Look, you got to get a tattoo from Exorcist the Beginning on your body. What are you getting and where are you putting?
This is going to be a good one, I think, because this is a tattoo a lot of people have, sort of.
Okay.
Which is Jesus on the cross, crucified.
Okay.
On my shoulder. But instead of the cross, Jesus is crucified to Ben Cross, the actor.
Upside down or right side up?
I mean, right side up. I'm not going that far.
Facing against each other or towards each other?
I mean, I haven't made these decisions
okay.
yet. Don't hold me to it, but...
It's pretty good, though. I have Alan Ford splayed out in all of his splendor in the catacombs.
Yeah.
On my bicep to throw people off the scent. Underneath it just says mom.
That'd be a heart.
My arm chose.
Because that's what you should always try. You should always try to people to throw people off the scent of your tattoos. I think. That is one requirement I certainly have. They're figuring out they're getting too close. How can I
people
confuse
the
them?
Tattoo artist is absolutely mystified. Look, you got to add a stinger to the end of Exorcist Beginning. Credits have rolled, movie's over. Lo and behold, there's a little extra scene back there. What you got?
So mine continues from the very last scene when Father Marin's walking into the Vatican.
His
Roman collar on. He got his briefcase. He's got his priest raincoat. Whatever he's got on. It's looking priesty. And they stop him at security. And they said, excuse me. He goes, you
know
me.
This is the King Ralph Bible in your hand. I'm sorry, what?
He said, I'm Father Marin. You know me. I've been here many times. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. We don't have a Father Marin here. There's no Father Marin that works here anymore. We don't have a Father Marin. We do used to have a Father Marin. He goes, no. That's cool. I've decided to re-priest. I'm doing it again. I'm back. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. Did you reapply? We didn't see the paperwork because we didn't get your packet.
Yeah.
And they just give him all sorts of grief. He's like, I thought it was easy. I thought I could just strap on the collar again. I'm good. I found my faith. Not good enough.
Yeah.
You have to reapply, bro. Yeah, they give him a hard time. What do you think?
Nice. He's got to pass the bar again or whatever, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't passing bars in this movie at all because he was hard drinking. Yeah. Badass Marin.
Mine is, you see a reporter speaking into a microphone, looking at directly at you from a news report. Mourners have descended upon a small African town to grieve over the mass grave of 120 butterflies. And then she reaches for her ear. Wait, I'm getting a news break from the studio. Television hasn't been invented yet. And we whip pan to Pazuzu, and he is on his recliner laughing and pointing directly at the audience. Gotcha! Gotcha! Oh,
that reminds me. I saw, remember how I said I'd never watched Terrifier?
Uh-oh.
Terrifier 2. I watched a little bit of the origin, the first movie this guy did with that character in it, because they showed it on the Joe Broadbriggs thing, and I was watching it a little bit. So I did watch some of it.
And?
So, as bad as I expected.
Okay.
Horrible. But yeah, they have that. He's looking a lot at the screen, looking at you out of like a screen and pointing at you and stuff.
What's his name? He's got a dumb
name. Art the Clown?
Yeah.
Just
what's
so
the movie
bad.
Called? Because I remember there was a little hype around it when it came out.
All Hallows Eve, maybe?
Okay.
That might be it. The hype.
Look.
Misplaced.
You've been given the budget of your own sequel to Exodus Beginning. Money is underneath Escrow's hand and being gently touched. What are you going to do?
So Father Marin's on a cruise. He's got a break. I mean, he's been through hell, Nick. And, you know, literally, like, almost touched hell. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, maybe did. Needs a break. Needs a vacation. Needs to find some solace on the seas. And he's at the buffet. And he starts hearing Pazuzu, like, Marin gonna get the roll. You know, get the crawfish. You dumb bitch. You know, think like, this could really give him a shit. And he's like, fuck. It's like, how does the same stuff happen to the same guy twice?
Mm-hmm.
Nick, it's like the Die Hard of 2 of Exorcist. He can't escape it. You know, it's Exorcist on the Seas, but now it's, Marin is McLean.
Has he possessed? What is he possessed?
Pazuzu? He's just possessed one of the, I guess, I haven't thought it through, but maybe one of the vacationers.
Okay, because what you took, the voice you're using, I thought maybe like one of the items on the buffet was speaking to him.
Not a bad note.
You like Brian James and the Thanksgiving turkey.
Yes.
Mine is Joseph, inspired by Father Marin's success in head wounding Isabella and saving him, becomes a priest himself. He moves away from his village, learns the arts, becomes a very effective priest, gets a job at the Vatican, and is there for decades, killing it. And he receives a newspaper sent from a priest in New York saying that Father Marin perished, unfortunately, in a battle with a demon.
Oh, no.
And Joseph's like, fuck this. And he rips his Roman collar off, and he's like, my mentor is dead. I've got nothing. This church dumb. I don't believe a word of it. I'm out. And he goes out and he's like, I'm going to lay pipe up and down this street right now. And it's just the movie's about him going on a super sexual conquest up and down the street after being freed of the priest shackles.
Yeah, well, that's what Marin was trying to do.
It's the first Mike Lee directed Exorcist film. It's called Joseph's Got It In for Everyone. Look. You've been asked to have your own business associated with Exorcist the Beginning. What are you going to do?
I got a pretty good idea about this one. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but what happens when Pazuzu possesses somebody, typically?
You got to give me more.
They're in bed.
Okay.
Because, it looks like they're sick, so they're in a hospital bed, they're in bed at home, on home rest. I mean, sometimes I wonder if Pazuzu possesses people to get some extra winks in or something, but he's always pretty much in bed. Why not get all the different possessed from all the different movies, and then all the different beds from all the different movies as well, and then you can mix and match.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like you could Reagan and Joseph's hospital bed here.
Yeah.
You could put, I don't know, like what's the, and Believer, they even had a bed scene in that. Like, Angela, she's on a bed when right before she stabs what's-her-face's eyes out.
Yeah, Catherine, yeah.
Cat, nice. Put her, I don't know, put...
There's definitely a bet
Sarah from this one in that.
Too, because Richard Burton almost gets lucky as shit on it.
It's supposed to be the same bed, though, as the first one, right?
They used a different bed.
And then it'll come with stairs, too. You can roll all these guys down the stairs as well. And the beds. What about you?
Well, you took mine, so I'm going to come up with something else. So I'm going to sort of steal a wink from Leslie Odom's character in the other one. I'm going to have, in the malls, a family photo place for Exorcist the Beginning.
Okay.
And it's subtle, but what I do is I take their photos, and then I slightly add... I add possession veins on their face.
Oh, wow.
When I send it back. Maybe I'll even put that freaky face from the first movie in the background of a few photos.
Yeah.
So it'll be really subtle, really subtle. I'll just slightly, demonize some of the family members on the sly. So they get their pictures back, and you have to look really good. It's mm-hmm. like that guy who went viral for hiding Skeletor in his travel photos. I got little cute veins, little possession veins on some of the people that I take.
What if you, before you're about to do one, though, you're like about to touch it up, you realize, I didn't do anything to this one. There's already a possessed in this picture.
Holy shit. You just made mine better. Jesus.
Freak you out,
fuck, man. I'm going to get super drunk.
You got to airbrush it out so then you can put then you can do your work on it.
Sure. Look, you're in the movie. You've been at the running time of Exorcist the Beginning. What shape does your performance take?
I'm the janitor at the hospital.
There's a hospital?
Yeah, I guess it's like a little medical center.
Okay.
Where Joseph spends the majority of his time. And Marin rushes out and hits me on the way. Like, he almost knocks me over. I got my broom. And I got a little bit of water and a mop. I got some Windex.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was Windex back then. For sure there was. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Little sponge. I'm all clean and starting my day, and I walk into Isabella Scarupo's room.
Oops.
And I spray a little Windex on the wall, and I'm like, you know what? And I just get out of there.
This job I cannot finish. You've met your match.
Fuck this. FML. I'm out.
Fuck Marin's lover. I am out. Father Marin, Comet Lancaster. So I am the wife of one of the men Marin allowed to get Nazi shot. I'm disappointed that he picked my husband out as a murderer.
Sure, of course.
And I decided to play the long game. So I am plotting his ultimate death and demise in a horrific fashion. And I'm kind of an older lady now, and I'm thinking that I'll never get my chance. And I'm in New York, and I see this movie set, and they're shooting the latest Chris McNeil joint. Like, wait a minute, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I got an idea how to get Marin back. And she grabs a book of Pazuzu summoning, gets to work. Because they never explain how Pazuzu gets into Reagan.
They don't.
Now we do.
That's why it's so weird that they have to keep trying to explain it. They keep going back and trying to give origin stories to it. Because one of the coolest things about The Exorcist is it just came out of nowhere.
Thing I like about this. I like that the Pazuzu head buries itself to be found later in the series.
Yeah.
It's got weird powers, Pazuzu. It can bury itself, break wrists at need. What's a Millennium Falcon of this movie, Justin?
That's such a good question. I think this is a hard question to answer a little bit. Might be the Pazuzu statue. I'm answering seriously here. Because that is something that does show up and is in a bunch of scenes here. It's kind of iconic.
And there's even a leather impression of it at one point. And drawing of it.
Yes. So I'm going to say that, but I'm not sold on it. What about you? What do you think?
It's a slam dunk. It's the word Joseph being spoken.
They say Joseph a lot.
They say it a scary amount in this movie.
Now, I will stick to my original, which is, I think, the steps... In Washington, those famous steps are the Millennium Falcon of the series. And like I said, in this movie, there are steps that somebody goes rolling down in the temple. So I think that they're alluded to. So I will say that. I think the steps are still my answer here. In this specific movie, gotta be Maggot Baby. But other than that, the steps.
Look, you got an island, man. You've been gathering debris from all these films. Now it's time to take something from Exorcist the Beginning. What are you putting there?
What can you take from this one? I mean, the elephant noir sign was kind of nice. But let me think. Let me Let me look through my notes. Those hyenas were kind of cute. Leeches. There's some leeches.
My life got a lot better this weekend. I don't know if yours did, but my life got increasingly better.
Let's hear it.
Because I've been stressing out for quite some time about that time that Emily Blunt called a waitress enormous.
She didn't even use that. She didn't even say she was enormous. She just said she was big. She apologized. This is 10 years ago that she said this on a show.
Yeah.
And it was the host was saying that everybody in America is probably pretty fat at this restaurant she ate at. She goes, yeah, the waitress was big too or something. But she was very nice. Ellen Millie Blunt feels sick about it. But you're relieved? Why?
Because I was stressed out, man. I was remembering that interview and I was like, when things get super touchy, you feel like she's going to be fucked up.
You're glad it's out in the air, finally.
Yeah, I'm glad she got that off of her conscience that she called this giant person a giant.
I didn't know she was the worst person on Earth, so I'm glad it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the first time that in one of these movies that they were doing exorcism on the wrong individual? It's an equivalent of an air ball. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Priest is doing all the right stuff on the wrong person.
It's like throwing an air ball if the intended target's back of their head gets bloody from the air ball.
She got head blood. You know, I might take that necklace that guy, and I just so I could hold it weird on my island, just so I could hold it.
They keep trying to show you what's on it as if it means something, but I can never tell.
They do. Yeah, on the face of it. I don't know what it is. And obviously, Pazuzu didn't like it.
I thought maybe it's the necklace that's in the original movie.
Possibly. Yeah, it could be.
St. Christopher or some shit.
I have to practice holding it like a weirdo, you know, just like really holding it eye level, getting in there. That's a lame one to bring, but I was going to bring a cave walking as a power, you know, cave spider walking, but I'll bring this necklace.
And I know that you'll be holding it up weird and checking to see on my island if I'm watching. So if I get to see you doing it, because it'd be kind of more rewarding to have an audience to see me.
Try to catch the sunlight on it and get a glint going. Yeah.
And then have me be jealous, but I can't be found.
What?
It can't find me.
Oh, no. Why?
And you're like, fuck this, man. Ever since he got that demon tunnel, he has not surfaced for shit. He is just always going back and forth in that demon tunnel. Down there running around like Leatherface without a chainsaw, doing the Leatherface dance up and down that corridor.
Demon tunnel, huh?
Gets to the point where I'm hoping that we review a movie with DoorDash so I get that my meals delivered down into the demon tunnel.
So the demon tunnel is Sarah, the Scroop Girl, was running towards Marin for a long time and kind of looked weird. Did it remind you at all of the Mouth of Madness, that tunnel?
No.
A little bit?
Not at all. It may be
10%.
I thought more of the tunnel from 25th Hour, to be honest, more than that. But I will tell you, though, it made me tunnel envious because it's so rare you get to see somebody that well lit at the end of a tunnel. Usually tunnels are meant to hide things.
Yes.
And I felt like a weight had been lifted that I could see what's going on at the end of that tunnel. You get time to prepare for the outcome. I love it so much. And I've got that thing, and I've got it about 6 feet beneath the sand so that I can go down there and have true tunnel.
Does your body do weird things as you're running through it? Because certainly, like the jaw, like I said, looked like it was warping and stuff
Absolutely.
As she was running towards Marin. Yeah, that would still be in there?
Yeah, there'd be just some distortion for sure.
Yeah, jaw warping.
Jaw warping because he was casting magic at her as she was showing up.
Is that what it was?
She was getting hit by wave after wave of God.
Yeah, that's... And then she started hanging 10. Bedside cold. Window too high above. I am the one. I am the one. I am the one. The water flows over cobblestone. It finds me boxed in. Nowhere to go.
Just another prisoner.